On the line, I've got Brodie Reynolds. Good morning, Brodie.
Good morning, Aaron.
So you're doing an artist talk this evening. I think it's 6:30, isn't it, at the Old School Art Centre?
It is, or 6 o'clock if you want to grab a glass of wine beforehand.
Oh, yes, yes, there's all that. And find the choice seat, the comfy seat. And you're going to have a lot of visuals, presumably, so the perfect seat for that would be ideal as well.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to pop up a slideshow of some of my work and describe a little bit of my process and the journey around being an artist, and hopefully it's engaging enough for people to remain seated.
I'm sure they will. Now, just because we're on the radio, I want to describe in words your art, which is, so is it oil colour?
Yeah, so I'm kind of a contemporary landscape artist. And I do paint in oil. I sort of layer up the oil paint and create kind of these misty scenes and kind of dreamscapes, I guess. So, it's a bit of a process, but the way they kind of turn out is pretty cool in terms of the light and when the light hits the painting at different times of the day, it can change the whole piece, so it's pretty cool.
Oh, so when the light hits the actual painting from different angles or different times of day, you're saying the painting actually looks different?
Yeah, you can always see something different. That's kind of what I love, and as part of my process, is that kind of mystery and magic. And I like to be able to create these kind of magical scenes where throughout the day, as the light kind of hits the painting, then the scene kind of changes from dusk till dawn. Yeah.
Interesting. And do you have any, I don't know if an artist would ever do this, but in your case, I think it would be really interesting to see an image of a painting when you're halfway through.
Yeah.
You talk about layering it, like to see it see it worked on and then developed. That would be, I'm kind of intrigued now to know if you would let people see that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's probably a good thing because someone could tell me to stop painting in that case.
Oh, I see.
I take it too far. There's just so many processes and things that start popping out. So although I kind of have an idea of the composition in the beginning, it's some things just suddenly appear that want to be painted, which is pretty cool because it's a little bit like being in a deep meditation. You know, sometimes I start seeing a humpback whale that wants to appear, and so I start painting that, and or just certain parts of nature, and or maybe a sort of shard of light that just suddenly comes down from the clouds. So it's always changing. There's kind of paintings under paintings under paintings.
Right. Okay. Maybe you should take photos like halfway through.
Yeah. Sure.
Catch the ones that got painted over.
Yeah, start leaving secret messages like Leonardo da Vinci. Yeah.
Did he do that? Okay, interesting. I wasn't aware of that. You've chosen to live in Raglan, and I'm just thinking, like, I've looked at your website and you've got photography as well, and your photography is very similar to your paintings. Obviously, you're looking for that, the mistiness characteristic is there, and playing with the light, obviously big for you. Is our coast a really good place to see that light? Like, I know when I've looked out to sea, when you're at Manu Bay or Whale Bay, somewhere like that, you see all sorts of dramatic stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Raglan's amazing for the moods and, you know, the changing of everything. This happens so quickly. And actually the Waikato in general. So, I mean, obviously with lockdown and stuff, we didn't get to travel that much. So this was my kind of inspiration. And there is a rolling mist that sort of comes in, and that, you know, I get excited by that because there's this sense of mystery of, you know, what's going to happen with the day. And I love that about Raglan. It's just ever changing. Yeah, and there's obviously such a powerful presence of Kariyoi as well, and the people are super inspirational, and there's so many creative people, and yeah, pretty easy to just step outside and find a little bit of magic out there.
Yeah, I find I lived in Hamilton years and years ago, decades ago now actually, And the fog was always this kind of oppressive thing. But then I had a job for a couple of years where I worked in Porongia, and actually driving through the fog is actually when it gets interesting, because that's when you get the surprises and, you know, the revelations, like kind of like you're talking about.
Yeah, I kind of love the fact that with the mist there's something, you know, only, well, there's nothing and then there's something. It's, I guess, kind of like when you're playing kind of hide and seek as a kid, you know, you kind of, the anticipation and the excitement is already there before you've kind of, you know, been found, or there's something about it that that just feels quite, there's just so many possibilities. You know, when the mist unveils, what are you going to see, you know?
yeah. So you mentioned lockdown before. Was a lot of artists here found lockdown a very productive time. Did it work like that for you?
Yes and no. Like, I think I've got a little girl, and so I was still being a mum, and I think, although there was that big pause, it was a bit of a time of more sort of self reflection than actually productivity for me personally. Yeah. But that all feeds into each other. Just processing, like, you can't, for me, you've got the composition, but there's always emotion that goes behind that. There's always a piece of me in every, you know, art work. And because life is constantly changing, I guess, you're constantly processing stuff, then that becomes painting's sort of like my diary anyway.
Okay.
So yeah, it was definitely, it did free up some time, but I think I've got to feel like I want to paint. It's kind of like writing music or writing a book. You've got to feel in the zone.
So you can be out of the zone if life gets too busy or hectic? Can that kind of spoil it for you?
Yeah. Busy, hectic. You know, when you love to do something, you find the time. So I think, as I said, it's more a feeling, like how I'm feeling. If I'm feeling a bit down in the dumps, then it's kind of hard to get inspired to paint. But then, like, on the opposite side of that, when I do a painting, it makes me feel, it kind of pulls me out of that. So I think it's just discipline at the end of the day. And I think, you know, one of my tutors always said, one painting a week is where you want to kind of aspire to being. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm still trying to get there.
Okay. So you mentioned your tutor. Where did you have, like, formal art training?
Yes, I did. I was after college, I was accepted into an art school in Florence. Actually, I got a scholarship to
awesome.
Paint over there, or to learn over there, and that was pretty cool, because they tend to teach really old techniques. So I'd be sitting in a room with a live model for 2 weeks before I was even able to join the dots, like just using a piece of string, kind of like really looking at perspective and parts of the body and the anatomy. And and then I attended art school in London, and then, more training back home. But I was a bit wild, so it's kind of been a bit all over the show. I've worked movies, sets, and, you know, and always in the creative industry.
I was just thinking, like, were you tempted to stay in Europe? There's New Zealand's not famous for having a very large market for artists.
I love Europe, and it's definitely a place that I've spent a lot of time in. I've been back over to Italy quite a lot, and lived in around that area for almost 10 years. And there's a big part of me that would love to be living there, but then, you know, bringing up a child, I think New Zealand's just such a beautiful place to do that. So it's just a fine balance, really. I think you can tap into any market that you want to nowadays with social media. I send artwork overseas. I think it's more about just your network.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the other side of I mean, you love being an artist and you love painting, but you've got to do that other side. How comfortable are you with that? It's always a big question for artists.
It's difficult. The juggle is always a bit difficult, but at the end of the day, you've got to pay the bills. So I think that's probably my biggest challenge at the moment is being mum and then paying the bills, because I've got a design company as well, and then finding the time to paint. I guess it's just, I mean, life just feels pretty speedy for everyone. So it's like you've got to grab the moments when you can.
Yeah. So the design work you do, what is that all about?
Well, I started, I did a lot of time on super yachts. Started doing logos for new builds, and that has led into doing some like branding, brand strategy work, and creating logo types. So that's kind of like my sideline business, really. So it was pretty cool to see some big boats out there with my logos on there too.
Yeah, I was just looking. I found that it's a Black Jam website, blackjam.inc. Yeah, and it's actually that your design work seems to be a continuation of your painting anyway, by the look of it. Like do you hand paint those logos?
Yeah, I do. That's kind of what I was just going to say. I sort of specialize in handcrafted logos, so I think now with technology, people have forgotten how to handwrite. So it's kind of a bonus for me.
Yeah, they're interesting.
And of course, then it's kind of one of a kind, so you can't really buy that font anywhere as such. You know, it's a handcrafted logotype. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you ever make your own font?
I've thought about it, but I mean, it feels like you kind of, it would be out of fashion before I kind of found out how to do it.
Yeah, I understand.
I don't know. I it's something to think about. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you're busy enough already, so probably put that to one side for a while. One of your sets of art you called the Round Collection, and you're actually painting on a round, just onto something round, perfectly round. That's actually kind of unusual, I think, in my limited experience. What's that about for you?
For me, it was kind of like looking through a window in time. That just emphasised that feeling of, a moment in time for me. Because a lot of the work that I do, I feel, is sort of preserving a moment in nature. I think because we get all these, visual flashes just coming at us all day, every day. Part of the reason why I like to paint what I do is just conserving preserving that moment. And I think with the rounds, it really emphasised, that feeling of looking into another world and just really enjoying that that scene. And aesthetically, I also think that it kind of breaks up that there's a lot of linear design out there at the moment in houses, and sometimes it just breaks that up. Yeah, as an interior design kind of perspective, I think it's pretty cool just to break up all that squareness.
Yeah, I'm looking at the round paintings on your website, and for people who haven't seen it, it's worth checking out because you actually show the paintings in place. Although I'm not sure, I don't know if you actually went and put them in all those places, or is this some graphic design happening?
Some of them, yeah. Some of them I've just pulled out an interior shot, and then some of them are in the place. It does give a good idea of how it can kind of soften certain spaces. And a lot of people still commissioning those pieces for that reason.
Yeah, I'm looking at, like, the one I'm looking at right now is a very linear place, you've got a horizon as part of the picture as well, but the actual, the artwork is the one with the waka, and there's a a whale underneath, humpback whale underneath.
Yeah. So I think, you know, in terms of a modern designer home, when you bring this sort of sense of round, and also with the oil paint, the colours, the textures, the kind of softness of the mist, it just feels like it brings a lot of a lot more warmth into the home for some reason. Yeah.
There's a lot of grey. Actually, I'm alarmed for about the last 20 years. Everything has to be grey in houses in this country. I don't quite understand why. I don't know what's going on, and I'm waiting for it to finish, but it hasn't finished yet.
Yeah, I know. I'm such a lover of wood and, you know, just everything that sort of makes you feel more homely, but it is very sort of grey and white and stark these days.
Yeah, I mean, how do you do your place?
Oh, my gosh. My place is just full of trinkets from travel and colour and, yeah, it's pretty, yeah. Pretty quirky.
So your travels obviously been a big part of your life, and you said before you worked on super yachts. How do you end up doing a thing like that? I'm kind of curious.
I think because I left so early to study art, I got the bug, and I would come home and I just wanted to go back out there because I just love people and places and cultures, and so I did take off. Not with much, but and then I ran out of money in South America. And
oh, really? There? Yeah, that's a good place to run out of money.
Oh, God, yeah, I know, right? And I heard from a friend, you know, that I should work on super yachts. So I flew pretty much direct from South America to Antibes in the south of France, still wearing my alpaca jumper and just surrounded by Gucci and Prada and... And then I was like, okay, right, I've got to find some work. So, I just jumped on a boat and never looked back.
Okay.
And then I was lucky enough to do a 2-year world circumnav on a sailboat following the humpback whales with my owners. So that was a big part of, you know, the humpback for me, and really the emotion and the feeling of swimming with whales. It's something that you can't quite explain. It's like being in the presence of a divine energy. And I guess I when I painted that, I try and bring that through. There's sort of it's kind of like seeing the northern lights, or you feel this greater presence around you, and I feel that kind of can heal people as well, just by sort of feeling like you're a bigger part of everything and you're not alone, I guess. So those travels and that time was really important for my journey as an artist as well. I get to kind of gather all those memories up and bring them to the canvas.
Mm. Well, if people go along tonight, they'll be able to see, as I'm looking online, very small versions of your art with, and the humpback is a recurring theme by the look of it.
Yeah, I probably only do like one a year. She sort of comes through naturally. I don't kind of plan to paint her, and it's quite a spiritual journey when I do start painting her. Sometimes I can even hear Waiata, and I feel like there's a purpose around, you know, revealing her. And for people to see her in terms of acknowledging this great kind of this great source, this great energy, and kind of what lies beneath the surface of things can be quite magical.
Mm. Well, look, I don't want to reveal too much about your story anymore and your art, because I know that the real experience is going to be tonight with the images of the art. The old school's got quite a large screen there, so people should really feel.
Now you're making me really nervous,
Rich. Look, I've been to some of the artists' talk. It's a very good audience. They're very appreciative, very kind people. So.
Oh, good. Yeah, I need to hear that.
Yeah. No, it is. It's good, and it's a nice space in there too. I presume it's in Eva's room, the room to the left when you come in the main doors.
Ah, yes. Yep.
I'm presuming it is because I'm not organising it, but it was the last time I went, so I'm presuming it is there again. So
yes, I'd say so. With the obviously where the movies are played,
it would make sense. Yes, with the screeners, it does make a lot of sense actually. Well, thank you for taking the time this morning to talk to me, and I think you'll have a good experience, and I'm sure people will have lots of questions. They always want to know more. Afterwards, so I think you'll enjoy it.
Oh, thanks for the opportunity, Aaron, and thanks for listening. I really appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you for your time, Brody.